Hey, let me just address something real quick, because I see everybody kind of looking around going, what's going on, what's going on? Hey, our phones all went off a minute ago with a weather alert. So, they're calling for some severe weather today, and I cut mine off so it wouldn't be going off while I was trying to preach, because you've never seen a preacher preach with something vibrating in his pocket before, and that might be something scary to see. So we just took a precaution and asked everybody to come off the second floor. They brought the kids downstairs, so parents are kind of going to make sure where their kids are. To my knowledge, there's no kind of serious threat or anything right now. Let me just tell you this. We know the master of the storm. We know the master of the wind. And I'm here to worship him and honor him this morning. And I've got complete confidence in him. Listen, I don't ever want to think about something drastic or devastating like that happen, especially to us while we're at church. But let me tell you this. If it does, I'm ready to see you on the other side. It's going to be all right either way. So let's take a few minutes this morning. We're going to focus on God's word and focus it while we're here this morning. Give God honor and glory. Hey, and we'll even go to the Lord in word of prayer right now and let him know that we believe 100% that we're in his hands and he's in control. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings, God. And God, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have. And God, I know we've had just a little bit of a disturbance from this severe weather alert that came. And God, but we know that you have us in your hands. You have the weather in your hands, God, that you're 100% in control. And God, help us to take all of that, put it at the back of our mind for a few minutes, God, to worship you and glorify you. God, we know that if there's anything that we need to do to God, you'll lead us in that direction. God, I want to thank you most of all for giving your son, Jesus Christ, for us. And God, I pray, dear Father, we'll take this next few minutes to glorify him and to honor him and to worship him. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Matthew chapter number 26, while you're turning, I'm going to ask Scotty and Russell, if they will, to come on up, and we'll take the top sheet off of our communion. If you haven't figured it out yet, we're having communion this morning, and the message this morning is going to be a communion-type message, and I ask you just to be much in prayer for me as we get into this message. The one reason that I specifically wanted to go ahead and uncover the table, I can remember being, I guess I was somewhere around 5 years old. My dad was preaching, pastoring a church up in Laurel Fork, Virginia. Now, I've told y'all several times that I have a brother that's 4.5 years older than me, and he is meaner than the devil himself. He done everything. He pastors a church, but he's still meaner than the devil himself. And he was always trying to figure out a way to scare me. He was probably a big contributing factor in me getting saved, because he kept me scared of the devil all my life. So as I was about 5 years old, I remember I didn't know anything about communion, didn't know what it was or anything else. Well, I walk into church one Sunday morning, and there's a table up front, the table that normally just had offering plates on it, all of a sudden had this white sheet on it, and it was all covered up, and I went to my brother, because, he was my older brother, and I wanted to go to him, and it's good to see all these people on the lower floor, ain't it? Amen. So as I went to my brother, and I said, hey, what's going on? What's up there on that table? Now, my brother, being who he is, looked at me and said, it's a dead body. So this happened just before Sunday school, and during Sunday school I thought about that, and I was scared of everything anyway, and I went to my dad as he was welcoming people coming in the service in between Sunday school and preaching. Daddy, I won't go home. Daddy, I won't go home. Daddy, I won't go. And finally Daddy said, what is wrong with you? Why do you want to go home? And I said, Travis said there's a dead body under that sheet up there, and I don't want to see it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And I knew at 5 years old I didn't want nothing to do with that. So then we get in the car, and of course, as Daddy is giving it to Travis, I mean, he's just, Travis, I can't believe you done that to Joshua. What in the world was you thinking? He said, well, Daddy, we've always, this is how good my brother was. It was the body of Christ. That's what I was talking about. And it wasn't nothing compared to what he was talking about. He was trying to make it spiritual, but he was just trying to scare me. So look, we've uncovered it now. There's nothing to be afraid of. We have some bread and some juice up here to partake in communion. So for the next few minutes, I want us to talk about communion and maybe slow down just a little bit this morning, and let's explain what communion is. So Matthew chapter number 26 is where we'll be taking our reading from this morning. If God hadn't given me the family that he gave me, I don't know what in the world I would preach on about half the time. But as we get into this scripture this morning, as we look at communion, just open your mind and open your hearts, and let's let God speak to us. Matthew chapter number 26. Let's begin reading with verse number 26. The Bible said, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I'm going to stop right here for just a moment. Now, we know that Jesus is coming to the close of his walk here on earth. He was born in the manger. That was awesome. He walked for 33 and a half years or something close to that here on this earth. Man, done some amazing miracles, done some amazing things. That was awesome. But now we've come to the place, we have come to the mission that Jesus Christ came to this earth for. And he knew when he came to this earth, because the Bible tells us that he was before the foundations of the world, that this was the plan. And Jesus knew what he was here for, and now he is at the time that he knows that he is going to be even more so about his Father's business. So as he and his disciples are here, we read right here in verses number 26 through verse number 28, the first communion, the first Lord's Supper, the first Last Supper, however you want to acknowledge it this morning. And as we get into the scripture this morning, we're going to see that, look, in verse number 26, it says, and as they were eating. So why were they together eating? In order to figure that out, we got to back up a little bit. So let's go to verse number 17 of Matthew chapter number 26. The Bible says, now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go to the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. So now Jesus and his disciples, they're here eating. What the place had been prepared for them to eat the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, or to have this communion. And they were there together because they were celebrating the Passover. Now, in biblical times, they celebrated the Passover because if you remember, if you go all the way back to Exodus, when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, the last plague that came was when Jesus told the children of Israel, you take the blood of a lamb and you apply it to the doorpost. And tonight when the death angel passes over Egypt, every house that has the blood of the lamb applied to the doorpost, man, that gives me chills just saying that. Every house that has the blood of the lamb applied to the doorpost, the angel of death is going to pass over. But if that blood is not there, then the firstborn of every house is going to be killed. And we know how that was the last straw when finally Pharaoh allowed the children of Israel to leave the bondage there in Egypt. So for years and years and years, they have observed the Passover. But here this day, as Jesus is acknowledging the Passover and he is eating the Passover here with his disciples, and they are remembering that, celebrating it, if you will, of how the children of Israel come out of bondage. The disciples, I don't think, even clearly understood what was fixing to happen, because there was blood from another lamb that was fixing to be spilled. And if that blood is applied to your life, I want to tell you that death is going to pass over you. The Bible tells me that I will never die, that I have eternal life, and I'm glad this morning that through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, that I will never have to face death. And you say, well, what do you mean, preacher? You don't think you'll ever die? My body may die. My body could die at any time, but I want to tell you that I have been given eternal life in my soul, in my spirit, and that will never face death. And as Jesus is here and he is administering the Last Supper, the First Communion, or the Lord's Supper, whatever you want to call it, to his disciples, they are here celebrating the Passover. And now we have changed the celebration from celebrating a Passover to celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's continue reading. Verse number 19, and the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. So he had told two of his disciples, he said, I want you to go and I want you to prepare the Passover. And now that they're there and they're taking the Passover, then we get back over to verse number 26, and he says, and as they were eating. So they were eating and celebrating for the Passover, and that's when the Lord's Supper was administered. Verse number 20, now when the evening was come, and he was sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now could you imagine sitting at supper with Jesus, celebrating the Passover, acknowledging what is fixing to happen in his life, that he is fixing to complete the mission, and he look up and say, but one of you is going to betray me. One of you is a traitor. One of y'all is going to come against me. Verse number 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and begin every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? This morning, I think we should take a few moments and look into our lives and figure out whether or not our relationship is where it's supposed to be with Jesus Christ. We should look and examine ourselves, and we're going to get into this a little more in a few moments. But we should look into our lives and see where are we at with Jesus Christ. You know, I think it's pretty amazing as Jesus has the 12 disciples there in the upper chamber, and he is celebrating Passover. They're partaking of Passover, and as the Lord's Supper is administered, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. I think it's pretty amazing that the Bible teaches that all 12 of them looked at him and said, Lord, is it I? And one thing that I see in that, I believe that the disciples knew they had been through a hard journey. They had walked with him. They had seen. They all knew that they were capable of being the one that betrayed Jesus. And this morning, as we're here, I think it would be really good for every one of us to get off of our holy high horse. It would be good for every one of us to put behind our pretending, to put behind this face that we put on Sunday mornings. Now, I wear a tie and dress pants and a shirt on Sunday morning to church, and I want to come and be my best and look my best. But God knows what I am on the inside. On the outside, doesn't matter whatsoever. But as I'm here this morning, we should lay down this religious thing that we've got going on. We need to lay down this pretend thing that we've got going on. And we need to get real with Jesus Christ. And where is our relationship with Jesus Christ? All 12 disciples said, Lord, is it I? And you may be here this morning, you may be doing your best to live for Jesus Christ, but you know what? I know plenty of men and women in my life that were walking with God one day, and the next day something happened in their life, and they turned and they went away from God. We are all capable of it, and we need to be very careful that we don't get to where we have our nose stuck up in the air, to where we think that we're really something. The Bible says that pride cometh before a fall. We need to be really careful that we don't get into a place that we say, well, I'm holy. I wished everybody else could be as holy as I am. Because even the 12 disciples said, hey, is it I? Am I the one that's going to betray you? Verse number 25. And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Look at that. Judas Iscariot sitting closest to Jesus. The one dipping his hand in the bowl with Jesus at the very same time. The one that appeared to be the closest. The one that appeared to be right beside of Jesus was the one that was going to betray. Was the one. You know what? I've heard people say, well, this person is really spiritual. They say amen a whole lot in service, and they run and shout and do all those kinds of things. And if that's what God's put on your heart and you're worshiping God and it's done the way that God wants you to do it, go for it. You know I'm all in for that. But I also want you to know that just because someone has that going on in their life, my daddy-in-law told me one time, he said, you know what? An empty wagon makes a whole lot more noise than a full wagon. Just because that you have the appearance that everything is great in your life, you know whether or not that you're right with God. Verse number 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. He had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? The last one to say, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. Verse number 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now I want you to know, as they're here at the first Lord's Supper, at communion, at the celebration of the Passover, that I don't know if the disciples even understood what was fixing to take place. I believe that Judas had already set it in his heart that he was going to go against our Savior. I believe that he had already put everything into motion. I believe that Christ knew that this time was at hand, that he was going to go and give his life for us. And as they're here and as they're communing with God, you know, some people, they feel a little bit odd about communion. They feel like it's an odd service. They feel like it's an odd, what in the world? Actually, I've had people say that when they walk in and see communion, they're like, uh-oh, I don't know. But you know what? This is nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to discourage you or distract you. This is an opportunity that we have, one, to be in communion with God, to give ourselves a time of reflection in our Christian lives, that we look to God and say, God, where is my walk with you? Am I betraying you? Am I where I'm supposed to be? And it's also a time that you look to the left and to the right, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and say, am I in communion with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Because in God's word, it teaches us so much about how we're supposed to be in communion one with another, how that we're supposed to be in one mind and one accord, how this church, how much powerful we can be if we're all in one mind and one accord, for one purpose, and I believe that purpose is to see souls come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But as Jesus is here and as he is administering the Lord's Supper to his disciples, I want you to look in verse number 26, And the Bible says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. I want you to know that this bread was only symbolic. You know, I remember as a young child, and I told you that I had some misunderstanding about communion. This bread is not the body of Christ, obviously, but it's symbolic of the body of Christ that he was willing. Now listen, this is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter, and I thought this would be a great time to observe communion. But this bread that we're fixing to pass out and to partake of, this bread is only symbolic of the body of Christ that he was willing to lay down for you. The body that was beaten, the body that was whipped, the body that was pierced, the one that had the nails drove into the hands and to the feet, the body that was sacrificed for you and I. Because you know, without this sacrifice that Jesus Christ was willing to come and give, every single one of us would have ended up in hell without this sacrifice. Because there's no possible way. The Bible tells me that my righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no possible way that I could have lived up to God's standards and ever been worthy to go into heaven. But I'm glad that before the foundations of the world, as we spoke earlier, I'm glad at that time when God knew me and God knew that I was going to mess up, and God knew that I was going to sin, that he was willing to allow his only son, the son that he loved, the one that he loved so much, he was willing to give him to come and give his body as a sacrifice. I'm going to tell you right now, y'all can be mean to my son, you can pick at him, and when I say mean, you can pick at him, you can joke with him, you can do all that, but if you lay your hands on him, you're going to have his mama to deal with. Now I'll just go ahead and tell you that right up front. And I'm joking, because you're going to have me to deal with too. I'm going to be right behind her coming at you. So can you imagine the love that you have for your children? And if you could think for one second that somebody would lay a hand on your child and hurt your child in any shape, form, or fashion. But yet God knew what they were going to do to his son. God knew that they were going to tear him apart with a cat of nine tails. God knew that they were going to put a crown of thorns on his head. God knew that they were going to drive spikes into his wrist and into his feet. God knew that they were going to pierce his side. God knew what they were going to do to him, that they were going to crucify him on a cross, that he was going to die there on that cross. And yet he loved you so much that he was willing to give his son to come and die on that cross. What a God we have this morning. How undeserving I am of that. How unworthy. I cannot believe that God loved me that much. Knowing me and knowing what I am, I cannot believe that God loved me that much. Then let's continue reading in verse number 27. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. I promise you, there's not blood in these cups. I promise there's not. There's some kind of grape juice. I hope I didn't get the real stuff. I hope it's grape juice. No, they didn't. I promise you that too. So here in a little while, they're going to pass this grape juice that we're going to partake. It's symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ that he was willing to shed for you. He was willing for his body to go through that pain, but he was willing to give the ultimate blood sacrifice for you and I. You know, back in the Old Testament, people had to raise up something to take and have a sacrifice for their sin, to have their sins covered up. They had to have something without spot and without blemish. They had to have something that was very precious to them. And they would go and they would do a very bloody sacrifice with that animal, with the turtle doves or the sheep or the goat or whatever. But there come a time when God said that the blood of bulls and goats was no longer sufficient, that it was going to no longer cover our sins. And once again, how in the world did he look at his son and say, I will accept a blood sacrifice for you to cover their sins. I will accept your blood as a sacrifice for them. So no, this is not blood that we're going to hand out, but it is a recognition that Jesus Christ was willing to give his life's blood for you and I, that by his blood that my sins could be covered, that even though he knew that I was going to continue to fail, come short, that I was going to sin on purpose from time to time, that there was going to be things in my life that shouldn't be, and there's going to be things that I should do that I don't, that he still said, I love you so much that I'll spill every bit of blood that I've got on an old rugged cross. I'll lay down my life for you because I love you that much. Man, what a Savior we have this morning. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I want to show you an example of a communion that happened in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Verse number 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Listen, "that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So he's given the account of the Lord's Supper. "When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." As the writer is writing here in 1 Corinthians, as they're fixing to take communion, he is again telling them what the bread and what the juice or the wine is in representation of. He's telling them that we're doing this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that he was willing to give his life. But then he says, "But wait, guys, I want you to know something." He said, "If you partake of this unworthily," he said, "you are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ." I preached this message or on these same lines at the first church I pastored, and I had a little old man come out, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Preacher, that was some good preaching, but you had me scared to death to take communion." That's not what this is about. Because I want to tell you something about the God that we serve. You may be unworthy right this minute. There may be sin in your life. You may have an ought against somebody. There may be something in your life right now that makes you unworthy. Hey, let me just say this. If we'll all be honest, there is none of us worthy at all to even partake of communion and say, "God, I realize what you did for me by giving your son Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy of that. Not worthy of that at all. Neither am I worthy to be a child of God. But I'm glad that when God looks at me, he don't see my unworthiness, but he sees the blood of his darling son. And he says, "But you're forgiven, but you're mine, but I'm one of his." And as we come to this in 1 Corinthians, and he says, verse number 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." So if you're here this morning, you say, "You know what, preacher? I do. I have something between me and God. There's sin in my life that I've not confessed unto God, that I've not turned over to God. There's things in my life that shouldn't be there." Then you're here unworthily. You could partake of this unworthily. And the Bible says, "And you shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." This is important. This is not just throwing a piece of bread in your mouth and a little drink of juice. This is important because we're remembering the love that Christ gave us. But I'm so glad, as Lynn was teaching in Sunday school this morning, of the grace of God and the mercy of God, that you want to know something? If you're sitting here this morning and you have sin in your life, if I have sin in my life, I have things that's unconfessed between me and God, for me to fix that, the only thing I have to do is go to my God and say, "God, I know that there's stuff in my life. God, I know there's something there that shouldn't be there. I've done things that I shouldn't. I've thought things that I shouldn't. I'm not walking with you the way that I should be right now. And God, I ask you to forgive me. God, I ask you just to cleanse me. God, I ask for my relationship and your relationship to be restored together. God, I want to walk with you. I want to be what you..." And right there in your seat or right here in the altar, wherever it needs to be done, God will take care of that for you this morning. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that gave his son for us. But look at verse number 28, because here's where we run into trouble sometimes. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." You want to get yourself in trouble with God? You want to get yourself in trouble with yourself? Start looking around and judging other people for it. I know old Rossi, he probably shouldn't take of this. I know him. Sorry, Rossi, you just happen to be the face I seen. I'd have been a lot better off to use Lynn. That would have fit a lot better. I know old Lynn. I can't believe he's going to take communion this morning. He's unworthy of that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible don't say for me to examine someone else. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." This morning, as we're going to get ready to take communion here in just a few minutes, man, what a celebration. You say, "How's it a celebration?" Hey, I remember asking my dad one time when I was little. I said, "Dad, on Good Friday is the day that we're celebrating that Jesus Christ gave his life on a cross for us. The day that they beat him and whipped him and all those terrible things. How in the world can that be a Good Friday? Because I want to tell you something. On the day that Jesus laid down his life for me was the day that redemption was available for me. That was the day that my sins could be canceled out, that I could be forgiven. And man, that's good. Yeah, what Jesus went through was terrible. It was awful. It was inhumane. There's no person in the world that ever deserved to go through that. But I'm so thankful that he took my place and that he was willing to give his life on that cross for me. That's the reason that it was good. This Friday will be Good Friday. And yes, it's terrible that Jesus went through that, but I'm so thankful that he took my place there on the cross. And as we get ready to take communion this morning, because of that sacrifice, if there's anything between you and God, it can be handled right now. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you something. That yes, you are unworthy. You're unworthy of salvation. You're unworthy to take communion. Yes, all those things are true. But just as we as Christians may have to take a moment here in a second, matter of fact, Hannah and Jennifer, if y'all will, come on. Just as we as Christians may have to take a second and go, God, I'm sorry. We may even have to go to someone in this church if we have an ought against somebody and say, brother, sister, I'm sorry. I need some to clear the air between you and I. We may have to do that here in a minute. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it only takes faith, believing that Jesus Christ gave his life for you, that you're a sinner and you need forgiveness of your sins, and you can leave here a child of God. You may be sitting here unworthy and just right now, but in just a few words to our God, you can be worthy. You can be, and it is only through and by salvation that I'm worthy this morning. Is there something between you and God this morning? Listen, the Bible says examine yourself with every head bowed and every eye closed. Matter of fact, if you will, just stand up with your head bowed, eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to move. If there's something between you and Jesus Christ this morning, if sin has come in, if there's something that shouldn't be there and you go, I've got unconfessed sin in my life. And in order for my relationship to be right with God and in order to be in a place where I can take this communion with a good conscience, I need to go and talk to God. Don't raise your hand. Just come on right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Just come on right now. Maybe there's something between you and a brother or a sister. And you say, I need to get this straightened out. I don't need to be taking communion way I am right now. I want to get this straight. Right now is a great opportunity. Right now is a wonderful time. There ain't no details needed. There ain't no explanation needed. Just a simple, forgive me. Well, they done it, preacher. Don't matter. It's not what the Bible says. Get it right in your heart. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, right now is the time. There are Christians all over this altar right now praying. You won't be by yourself. Come on and get things right with God. Hannah, if you will, sing.
Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see, come receive, come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come receive, come and live forever. Life everlasting, strength for today. Taste the living water. again. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and
I believe that's been sufficient. You've had an opportunity to make things right between you and God. You may be seated. If two of our deacons would, or three, however many, we need to hand out, pass out the bread. I'll quit stuttering in a minute and get it out. I don't know how many bread trays you have.
The sun, where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can
says that he took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it. Tom, you bless the bread this morning. And he said, take, eat, this is my body.
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind. Catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because
and gave thanks. Bruce, will you give thanks for the... Amen. And he said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I'm so thankful for the love that God had for us, willing to give his son, Jesus Christ, for us. If you will, stand with me. And the Bible says at the end that they sung a hymn. We're not going to sing a hymn this morning. We're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Jackson, you and a couple of your buddies there, get these juice trays, please, and carry them to the back. And if y'all will, as you go out, just drop them back in the tray. And that way we won't have to walk around and collect them. Thank you for being here this morning. I really appreciate your attendance, your time for being here. Thankful that God kept us safe, and he always will. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? He's already prepared a place for us, and I'm looking forward to going. Preacher Fall, will you dismiss us in a word of prayer this morning?